Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed. We're holding on daf Chaf Tes on the base toward the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman. This is a chusur for Shlema, for Chayim, and Freudman, for Mefreda, for Sarah Freda Baschaya, and for Dvorah Shira Chaya, as in the peril, they shall all have Rufu Shlema, Besov Shar, Chole Yisrael. So we're holding at the bottom of the page at the two dots, Vachomet Shalom Dicham Shayim Mit Chilasu Yayin. So we're going to discuss first why the Mishnah has to tell us that something that, while it was in the possession of a guy, was Yayin, and then became less of a concern. Either it soured and turned into vinegar, or it became a Vushal afterwards. Well, of course it's going to be Asur. It was in the possession of a guy as Yayin. Then the Gemara is going to spend the majority of the daf is going to talk about the issue of Gilui today, that if a person leaves wine exposed or other drinks exposed, we have to be choshesh for sakana, that maybe a nachash came and put some poison, some of its venom into the liquid, and therefore we're not allowed to drink it. So we're going to discuss whether Gilui is a problem when you have Yayin Mazug, and whether Gilui is a problem when you have Yayin Mevushal. Does the fact that it's diluted or that it's cooked take away the concern for Gilui? We're also going to discuss whether there's a concern for Gilui on partially diluted wine. Even if you're going to say Mazug is not a problem, what if it's not entirely Mazug, just a little bit of water was put in? And then we're going to discuss many other details of Gilui. Is there a concern of Gilui if the wine was right next to a sleeping person all night? Or would we say the Nachash is afraid of a human being even when he's sleeping? Would we assume that when you get wine from an Almana who there's no husband telling her what to do, that maybe it's a greater concern of Gilui? What about from an Arma'a, from a non-Jew who maybe is not as careful to cover his wine? He's not as careful about sakana. And the Gemara is going to discuss different types of wine, in which wines snakes are drawn to, and which wine snakes are not drawn to. Then the Gemara is going to, on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us about a chashash Gilui on wine that's souring or freshly squeezed, meaning on both ends of it, both in the beginning of its shelf life and at the end of its shelf life, whether there's a concern of Gilui. And we're going to talk about Chashash Gilui not only on wine and liquids, but there might even be a Chashash Gilui on different types of food. And the Gemara is going to give some details of that. And then the Gemara is going to say that even if you have a Mashke Megula that was tested by other people, 9 people drank from it and nothing happened to them, they're totally fine, even then you're not allowed to rely on it. The 10th person might still die from drinking the Mashke Megula. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss other precautions that one should take with something that was Megula, aside from not drinking it. Other things, other activities that you shouldn't do because it's dangerous. So today's daf, the topic of today's daf is Gilui, which is interesting because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention Gilui. We have a whole daf all about the concern of Gilui and that you leave something exposed and what's going to happen when you leave it exposed. Shulchan Aruch has a whole siman in Yerideya about Dvar Ma'asura Mishum Sakana. Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention Gilui, apparently, and the Achronim explain that the Shulchan Aruch himself explains that we're not Beis Yosef, that we're not worried about this Bizman Hazeh because we don't live in a place where there are too many snakes around. But some of the Acharon point out, but if you do live in a place where there are snakes around, so then you have to bring back all the halachas of Gilui. Plus, in addition to that, there are for reasons that are beyond the world of Nigla, apparently there are a variety of concerns related to Gilui. So that's why I think most of the Hasidic Gedolim were always makbid about it, and even the Gra was always what they say in the Pasuk Shulchan and others was makbid about the concerns for Gilui. But let's begin with the two dots. If you have vinegar that used to be wine that belongs to that you got from an Ovid Kochavim, so you have to be concerned. Says Gemara Pshita Mishum Da'achmetz Pakalei Sure. This is before we're into Gilui. This is just about the fact that it's Stam Yenim. It's wine that you got from a guy. So what? Just because it later turned into vinegar, the Isser would just go away? Obviously, I still have to be concerned about it. So Ravashi Ha Asala Ashminan. Now the Chiddush is Chomet Shalanu Biyad Ovid Kochavim. That if by the time the guy gets it, it's already turned to vinegar, so we don't need a double chosam. We don't have to worry that he's going to be menasechit because it's already chometz, he wouldn't be menasech chometz. And what's our concern? That he's going to switch it out, right? In general, when we send something through a delivery person who's a non-Jew, so that's why we need a double chosam. That's why whenever you get a delivery from a store under reliable hashgacha, from a restaurant under reliable hashgacha, it always comes with a double chosam, because that's a halacha, that when it's sent by a guy, there's a chashash. Note that the chashash is not that he's going to add something not kosher into the food. He's not going to just try to make us suffer. The chashash is he's going to say, oh, kosher food must be of higher quality. I'm going to take the kosher food for myself, and I'm going to replace it with non-kosher food, ichlufei. That's the concern. I just got the shaila yesterday. A guy told me he was his company had ordered lunch for his whole group, and they went out of their way to make sure to order kosher from the restaurant of his choice. And they set up a whole table, and they marked it kosher. And they were even so kind as to unpack it, that they opened up the bag, and they opened up all the bag, and they put out the food. So he said, what do I do now? It didn't come with chosam b'tal chosam. So I pointed out that the concern is not that they're mosif, the concern is a chlufei. If you could take a picture of it, send it to the mashgiach, and say, hakirna, is this the food that you sent out of the restaurant? Is this the... And he's able to identify, yeah, that's the food. So it's beferish in Shulchan Aruch that way. That if someone recognizes it, that's fine. You don't have to be concerned that he's dropping pig juice in I don't think they sell bottles of pig juice, but that he's dropping non-kosher ingredients into the food. So anyway, so imishem ichlufei, you're worried what? That he's going to switch it out. Kiven dika chosam lo tarach mezayif. If there's even a single chosam, he's not going to bother to be mezayif, to try to replace the chosam. Yayin mevushal from a guy, if it was yayin that was not mevushal initially, so then it's aser because it was already aser mishum stam yenam. Says mar pshita mishum deivshal pakalei isura. Obviously, it's going to be aser. Why? Because later someone cooked it, the isur is just going to fly away. So ravashi ha aser laashminan. Now the chiddush is yayin mevushal shalanu biyalov dechavim ein sar chosam tal chosam. If we had Yayin Mavushal, and by the time the guy got it, it was already Mavushal, you don't need a double chosam for the same reason. That if it's because of Nisuch, you don't have to worry about Nisuch, and if it's because of Ichlufei, so he's not going to be Tarech. So that we're going to have to discuss when we get to those sugyas. Why we assume that with one chosam it would be good enough, and when do we assume that you need two chosamos, when do we assume you only need one chosam? But in this context, at least we're suggesting, with such yayin, it does not require a second chosam. With single chosam, we already have confidence that he's not going to do anything with it. Now, the Tur in Yerodea, in Simkuf Chav Gimel, writes that if you have vinegar of a nachri that was tchilaso yayin, that used to be yayin, and you got it from a nachri when it has already become vinegar, it's aser, because even though it was hichmitz, lo paka isuro, the iser that it had originally does not go away. So the Beis Yosef already wonders about this story. He says, you know, when the Gemara thought that was the halacha we were teaching in this in this Mishnah, the Gemara said that can't be the halacha you're teaching in this Mishnah, because pshita, what? Pakalei Yisurei. The Yisur is just going to go away because at some stage it became chometz, at some stage it became mevushal, it's a davar pashut. So why would the Torah quote this like a chiddush, that if the guy had yayin and berushus hagoy, it turned to chometz, berushus hagoy, it became mevushal, that you don't have to worry about it? Of course you don't have to worry about it. So the Chasam Sofer writes that, of course, it is a davar pashut, that once a cheftza is a cheftza shel Yisur, the Isser is lo pakamine, the Isser does not go away. He says, yeah, but that's only if the nature of the Isser is that it becomes a cheftza di Isura, it becomes a cheftza shel Isser. But if the Isser is a din in an Isser Gavra, that it's not a din on the cheftza, that Chazal goes on this cheftza that it's Isser, but the Chazal goes there on the Gavra, that you're not allowed to have wine from the guy because of a relationship that's going to be created when you take wine from him, so then it's not about the fact that the cheftza used to be yayin. When I'm taking it, it's vinegar. As presented to me at this moment, it's vinegar. And therefore, I would assume that would be mutter. So the Torah's chiddush, it turns out to be a great chiddush. See, in the times of the Gemara, people, goyim were menasei chayin all the time. So the concern for yayin was nisur cheftza, that it became yayin esach. But nowadays, where the isur is not really a concern that it was nesach, it's stam yenam. And stam yenam is mishum chasnus. It's because of my relationship with the guy that's going to become an unhealthy relationship if I become too close with him, if I get yayin from him. So that's an isur gavra. So that's about the relationship. That you would assume that it is paka isurei, as long as by the time I get it, it's already nesnasik. So that's the chiddush of the Torah, that even though the reason for the isur may have changed, the gedarim of the isur remain the same. That still, once it was yayin, Zayin Bereshus Hagoy, it remains Aser forever. That's what the Chasam Sofer explains, what the Chiddush of the Tur must be in that line. Says Gemara Vayitina, Tanu Rabban, Yayin Mevushal Va'alontis. If you have Yayin Mevushal, or you have some sort of Alontis, which is a wine mixture that was used for some sort of therapeutic purposes, Shalob De Kuchavim, that you get from Novid Kuchavim, Asurin, they're going to be Aser, because again, it started out as Yayin, and therefore I don't care that later it became Mevushal, or later it became mixed with other ingredients, it started as Yayin, it's going to be Aser. Alontis Kibriyasa Muteres. But if you have Alontis Kibriyasa, which Rashi says means that the Goy never had it when it was pure wine, he got it from a Yisrael when it was already mixed with other ingredients, then it's going to be Mutter. That's how Rashi says. Says Tosfos, after quoting this Rashi in the third line, Umikan Raya Lahatir Tavshil Shenasari Bo Yayin Kodem Shebishluhu Inagabe Ovid Chavim, the Kivin Shenasarev Sulo Menasech Le Ovid Chavim. That any time you have a tafshil where wine is mixed in, and then the guy had access to it, you don't have to worry about it at all. Once it's nisarev, it's not a concern. He says, I understand Rashi's halacha, I just don't see it as pshat in the Gemara. That kibriyasa doesn't make it sound like that it was already mixed in with other food by the time the guy got his hands on it. Va'od perakamid chulin mashma shu karoy alontis kodem shnasu l'tocha yayin. Titania l'keich yayin lasis l'tocha alontis v'lo kamer lasos alontis. That also the word alontis is used to describe the other ingredients before wine is added in. And we're saying that Rashi saying alontis means that alontis kibriyasa, that alontis in its purest form is after the wine is already mixed in, but it's biyad Yisrael at the time that it gets all mixed together. L'kach pirush rabbeinu tam da'alontis derech ulasos mitchila below yayin umachnis nosalakiyim. That the way they would make alontis is that in order for it to have it last for a long time, they would put together all the other ingredients without the wine. Ukshem stopkin mena ma'at ma'at marvin ba'yayin. And as they use it, as they take one cup at a time or one serving at a time, they would mix yayin with it. Shem yachnis ulakiyim osim ayayin miskalkelas. Because if they would try to store it long term with yayin, it would become destroyed. So says Tosfos, and therefore vahachi pirusho you see a guy with alontis and you didn't see him remove it from the barrel, you have to assume that he's already mixed the wine in. But kibriyasa, but if you see that he takes it straight from the barrel, so then you saw him every moment from the moment he took it from the barrel, then you don't have to assume that he was ma'arev any yayin into it, because there's no way that in the barrel it had yayin. That wouldn't be a solution for long-term storage. There's no way he would have had yayin in it yet at that point. So Tosfos says, well, the halacha of Rashi, that when there's a tarovus of yayin with other things, you don't have to be worried about nisuch, that may be true, but that's not what our Gemara is saying. Our Gemara is saying something else. Tosfos goes on to say, you could bring a raya to Rashi's halacha from elsewhere. There's the Tosefta, there's other things, but that's not what our Gemara is actually talking about. Says Mavezui Alontis, what is this Alontis? We have a brisa by Shabbos. Osin anumlin ve'inos nalontis. There's an issur to make refuos and to take refuos on Shabbos. And this midraban, even if it does not require shechikas sammanim to make the refua, you're not allowed to make a refua or take a refua on Shabbos. So you're allowed to make anumlin, but you're not allowed to make alontis. Ve'ezu anumlin, ve'ezu alontis. What are these things? Anumlin yayin. Udvash upilpulin. It's a mixture of yayin dvash and pilpulin, and aluntus is yayin yashan umayim tzlulin va'parsimon da avdila masvasa, that they would use to cool off the body after leaving the bathhouse, meaning it had some therapeutic value, and that's why you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos. It's considered to be lirafua, because that which cools off the body then is purely taken for that purpose is considered to be for the sake of rafua. Okay, so that is as far as the concern of Stam Yenam that you're getting from Gayim and Tarovis and things of that nature. Now we move on to the Sugya of Giloy, and the rest of the daf is going to be on the Sugya of Giloy. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamar Tavayu, Yayin Mozug Ein Bo Mishum Giloy. If you have diluted wine, you don't have to worry about it having been left exposed and therefore subject to a snake putting its venom in it. Yayin Mavushal Ein bo mishum nisuch. Additionally, cooked wine, you don't have to worry about nisuch on cooked wine. So yibay lehu. Yayin mevushel yesh b'mishum giloi, ein b'mishum giloi. But one thing we didn't address is yayin mevushel subject to giloi. We know it's not subject to nisuch, but we have to be concerned about giloi. And do snakes like, so they're not going to use avodah zarah, mevushel wine for avodah zarah, but do snakes like mevushel wine? So tashma, hey, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi al yayin mevushel shein b'mishum giloi. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi says yayin mevushel, not subject to giloi, you don't have to worry about it. Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel Chalash, and the Gemara tells a Maisa. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel got sick. All the Gabbai Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud v'Rabban l'Shile Bay. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud and the Rabban came to do Bikur Cholim. Yasi v'Kami Bailahu. Yeah, it's interesting when we talk about Bikur Cholim l'Shiyule Bay, to ask after him, to seek after him, to see what he needs, because that's part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Is to the sugis are in the Dharma, I think that's part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to take away part of the machla, not just by magically taking away part of the machla through the mitzvah, but by actually seeing to it that you could take care of the tzarchei hachola. That's part of the mitzvah. The other part of the mitzvah is to daven for the chola. That's why the Gemara says you shouldn't be mevaker the chola too early in the day, because he's going to appear stronger than he really is, and you're not going to bother davening for him, or too late in the day, because he's going to appear weaker than he really is, because he's going to be exhausted, and you're going to think it's already a lost cause, it's not worth davening for him. So you see that part of the mitzvah is to daven for him. So anyway, so that's where Moshe has a tshuva about doing bikur cholim on the telephone. Well, that's a kiyum mitzvah. So it's a partial kiyum mitzvah. You can't really do as much for him over the telephone in terms of his practical needs, prop him up on a pillow or anything like that. But it may inspire you to daven. Probably not as much as actually being there would inspire you to daven. So it's a partial kiyum mitzvah. It's not the highest level kiyum mitzvah, but certainly worth one's time. So anyway, so they went to visit him. Yasi v'kami ba'iluhu. So they were talking and learning. So they asked, Yayin mevushel yesh b'mishum giloi, oein bo mishum giloi. Are we concerned for giloi on yayin mevushel? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, Hachi Amar Rabbi Shmuel Melakish mishum gavur rabba. Rabbi Shmuel Melakish quoted a gavur rabba, Umanu Rabbi Chia, and that gavur rabba was Rabbi Chia. Yayin mevushel, ein bo mishum giloi. That you don't have to worry about giloi on yayin mevushel. Amar Lei, nismoch. Can we rely on that? Meaning this could be dangerous. Are we allowed to rely on such a shmua? So machmil Rabbi Yana Rabbi Shmuel alayv al tzavari. Rabbi Yana Rabbi Shmuel made a gesture with his hands to show that you could rely on it. It's on my shoulders. It's on my neck. If anything happens to you, that I might take full responsibility for such a psak. Shmuel v'avlet havayasi. Shmuel and avlet. And who is avlet? Rashi points out, Ovid Kochavim Haya. If I'm not mistaken, there are stories about Avlet somewhere in Masechta Shabbos or something about Avlet. It was an Ovid Kochavim. So Avlet was a guy, and he was sitting together with Shmuel, Aisel Kamel Chamra Mavashla, and they brought Yayin Mavushal to them. So Mashchil Yadei, Avlet already had enough interactions with Shmuel and with other Jews that he knew that his touching the wine is going to cause problems. So as soon as he saw wine come to the table, Mashchil Yadei, he said, okay, I'm not going to touch it. I don't want to ruin the wine. Don't worry, it's yayin mevushel. You can touch the wine. It's not a problem of yayin nesach. Am said Rabbi Chia igluy la hahu chamra mevashla. The maidservant of Rabbi Chia had giloy that happened to cooked wine that she had. So asiel kabed Rabbi Chia. They came to Rabbi Chia. Amrla hare amru yayin mevushel ein bo mishum giloy. So they said that don't worry, yayin mevushel is not subject to giloy. Shamid Ravad bar Ava igli le chamra meziga. The shamish of Ravad bar Ava also his yayin mazug was left exposed. His diluted wine was left exposed. Amalei Hari Amru, Yayin Mazug Ein Bo Mishum Giloi. Don't worry about it. It's already diluted wine, so it's not diluted wine is not going to be subject to concerns of Giloi. Amrav Papa Lo Amrin Ela De Mazug Tuva Avol Mazug Velo Mazug Shasi. But that's only if it's really properly diluted. But if it's only partially diluted, the snake would still drink from it, and therefore you're still going to have a problem if it's only partially diluted. Umazig lo mazig mishasi. Is that true? If it's partially diluted, would the snake really drink from it? Va'rabba barav hunava ka'azil ba'arba. One time, Rabba Rav Huna was going on a boat. Va'avenakid chamra ba'day, and he had wine with him. Va'chazia lu chivya ditzari va'asi, and he saw a snake coming toward the boat. I guess a water snake. Snake coming in the water toward the boat, and he saw what was about to happen, that this snake was going to have access to his wine. So that wouldn't be my first thought if I saw a snake coming at me, that he's going to have access to my wine. But they were used to snakes. So they could daven shmonesu with a snake, karachalakeva, if they diagnose it, it's not a dangerous snake. So Amalei l'shamei, samei enei didein. So the Shamir said, blind the eye of the snake, but not in the literal sense to blind his eye, as Rashi points out, Herila Lenachash Dover Sheyakut Biyayin Zeh V'yashuv, show him something that will make him not want my wine, and then he'll go away from us. So what did he do? Shakal Kalimaya Shadibe. He took a drop of water, a little bit of water. Rashi says, Ma'at Mayim, and he put it in the wine, and that was enough. V'solachore, the snake turned around. So how can you tell me that only Yayin that's Mazu Kol Tzarcho is not going to be subject to Giloy, but Yayin that's Mazu a little bit is still subject to Giloy, the snake is still going to want to drink it. Over here you see a drop of water was enough to deter the snake. So the Gemara says, Achaya Masa Nafshe. For undiluted wine, the snake is willing to be Masa Nefesh and take it even in front of people, in front of human beings when people are watching. Amaziga la Masa Nafshe. If it's Mazug, he wouldn't be Masa Nefesh for it. That's the point. But Enochinami, if no one was watching, even partially diluted wine, he might still take. Says Gemara, Amaziga la Masa Nafshe. He would not be Masa Nefesh for partially diluted wine. For Rabbi Yane Hava Be Achburi. Rabbi Yane was in a place called Be Achburi. Varmila Barhedya Hava Be Achburi. Some say it was Barhedya that was in this place called Be Achburi. Haviyasu Kashasu Chamra Maziga. They were drinking diluted wine. Pashlu Chamra Bekuva. There was a little bit of wine left over in the barrel. Vitsarune Biparvanka. And they covered the barrel with a cloth. And then they watched as a snake did the following. The Shakal Maya took water, Virama Bakuva started putting the water into the barrel, you know, so it went through the cloth, Adimali Bakuva, Visalik Khamri Lave Parvanka, and it raised the liquid level of the barrel till the wine was coming up above the level of the cloth, Vishasi, and then the snake drank from it. So here it is that it's Mazug, there are people watching, and the snake is still doing this. He's still going to take from the wine that's partially mazug. So Amri de mazug ihu shasi. Now, if it's mozig the wine, it will still drink from it even in front of people. De mizig yachrini lo shasi. But if others are mozig the wine, then he's not going to drink from it in front of other people. Whatever the psychology of the snake is, not psychology, but the way snakes operate, whatever it is, that's the assumption the Gemara makes. So that's the statement the Gemara makes. Amr avashi vitem ramasharshia. Perukal the psychology. What, you're going to rely on, you know, yeah, I keep asking, oh, but isn't the snake, don't you see the snake is interested in the diluted wine, and the partially diluted wine, and we keep saying, oh, no, maybe you're making like an ukimta. No, maybe that's different because he's the, maybe, but, you know, maybe I'm going to die if I drink it. You don't rely on a terutzim when it comes to a sakana. You know, when you talk in learning, so you say, oh, it's not a raya, I have a dechia to the raya, but I'm not going to rely on the shinuya dechika, you know, certainly in when it comes to sakana, as Rashi points out, no, you can't rely on such answers. It's going to be us no matter what. That we have to take sakana very seriously. Diluted wine is a problem of giloy, is a problem of yayin esach. Yayin mevushal, ein bo mishum giloy, vein bo mishum yayin esach. Yayin mevushal is not a problem of Giloy, nor a problem of Yayin Nesach. There is a discussion in the Rishonim already, it plays out on the page of Shulchan Aruch, between the Shach and the Taz, to what extent do we treat Sakana more seriously than, more severely I should say, than we treat Isser V'Heter. The Machlokas in the Rishonim, in Isser V'Heter, he quotes the Mordechai and the Arzarua, that if you have a Taroves of Sakana with Davra Mutter, that it becomes Batal just like every other Isser. But, he says, when it's Yavish B'Yavish, Min B'Mino, normally we'd say Yavish B'Yavish, Min B'Mino is Batal Barov. Three hamburgers, one of them is non-kosher, two of them are kosher, Batal Barov. So it's all kosher. The question in Rishonim, what that means, it's all kosher, that you can eat two out of the three of them, that you could eat all three of them just one after the other, that three different people could eat all three of them, that you could even pile all three in one triple burger and eat them all at the same time. So that's a machlokas in the Rishon, what that means is batel brov, but that's batel brov. But sakana, yavish b'yavish, min b'mino, we wouldn't say it's batel brov. To that extent, we're not going to go, but otherwise, dinam of bittel would apply. However, the Darkei Moshe asks on the Yisr V'Heter that the Torah, it sounds like, we're choshesh for Nisr Giloy, even when it's when there's Arbaim Sa'a of Mayim, you have 40 Sa'a of Mayim. How much venom does the snake have? And 40 Sa'a of Mayim, it's obviously would be enough to be Mevatalit. So some of the poskim suggest, the Taz quotes from, and others suggest that maybe I'm sorry, Chassam Sofer suggests that, Chassam Sofer here in this Gemara suggests that it depends. If it's a full tarovis, meaning it's something that gets completely dispersed throughout the entire mixture, then it taka could become batal. But if it could be something that sits in one spot, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that when a snake puts its venom even to a large vat of water or wine, it could be that the venom is just, you know, pocketed in one place. So then we have to be choshesh, even if there's extremely large numbers. And that's why yavesh b'yavesh, we're concerned, because yavesh b'yavesh, it's still be'en, we just don't know where it is. So you're not going to say that it's batel, because you just have to be that guy that has that one hamburger, and then of course the one sakana item, and then of course the person is going to die. But that's the question of exactly how much more do we take the issues of sakana to say that it's not even batel, more so than when it comes to iser v'heter. Okay, says Gemara further now. Shamed Rav Chilkiya bar Tuvei igal yahu kista demaya, that he had an issue of giloy on a thing of water. V'avenayim gaba, but he slept right next to this water that he had left Megula. So what happens? Also, Gabed Rabbi Chilka Bar Tuvi, they came to Rabbi Chilka Bar Tuvi to ask the Shaila, Amlei Harayamru Emes Yashan Alein. Someone is sleeping, the snake is going to be afraid of the sleeping person. You don't have to worry about it. But Vani Yumili Biyamama, that's only during the daytime, Avul Belele Lo. But at nighttime, the snake is still going to go into it, even if there's a sleeping person next to it. Says Mar Bat Velohi, that distinction is not correct. Loshna Biyamama, Loshna Belele, Emes Yashan Alein. Lo Amrinan. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, we don't think that he's worried about the sleeping person. We think the snake is still going to get into it. Rav lo shasi mi be'ar ma'a. Rav was careful that he wouldn't drink from any liquid that he got from an arma'i person. Amar lo zihiru b'giloy. He says these people are not careful about giloy. He could have left his liquid exposed, and who knows what kind of poison is in there. Mi be'ar malta shasi. When he got water or any such liquid from an almana, he would drink from it. Amar sircha de gavra nikita, because he assumed whatever practices they had in their house when her husband was alive, she maintains those same practices. So Mestama, when she was alive, her husband was concerned about these things, so she's still concerned about these things. But Shmua lo asimaya mi be'ar malta, amar lesaya masa de gavra v'lo mechasimaya. Shmua said, no, by an almana, I'm not going to drink from it. She has no husband watching after her to make sure that she's behaving anymore, so I don't think she's going to cover the water anymore. Avu mi be'ar ma'a shasi, but he would drink from water that was gotten from an arma'a, because nihidia agilu lo kapti an amina karusa mi akapti. They may not be concerned about giloy, but they are concerned about cleanliness, so they wouldn't want the water to get dirty, and therefore they'd be makbid to cover it up. Igadami Rav lo shasi maya mi be'ar ma'a avu mi be'ar malta shasi, that Rav would not drink from an arma'a, but yes, from an almana. Shmuel Ashasi Maya Lomi Bearma Velomi Bearmalta. And Shmuel wouldn't drink water from either one. There's a Chuva Nigris Moshi or Deh Chelik Beis, Simon Memal, where he talks about a factory that made margarine, and the Mashkichim couldn't be there on Friday afternoon, but legally they had to do a cleaning process that was the equivalent of Hagala. So can you rely that since legally they had to do it, can you rely that they did it? So Moshe brings a riot from this Gemara that when you know that there's a particular hakpada on cleanliness, you're allowed to rely on that hakpada on cleanliness to assume that they did the standard procedures. So together with other snifim, that's maybe something to rely on, that if legally they had to do this wash of the equipment, so you could, even though Mashkiach didn't see it, maybe you could assume that it actually happened. There are three types of wine that are not subject to gilui, that we don't think is going to be a problem with the snake. And they are chad, mar, and matok. Chad is tila chavifa, dematzri ziki. It's a very sharp thing. It's a very strong wine. It doesn't taste good, and it will break its barrels. Mar yaranka. Mar is very bitter. Matok chulia. And matok is chulia because it's from the grapes that are exposed to the sunlight and are therefore very, very sweet. Rav Chama masnig liiluya. Rav Chama has taught all these things as a positive attribute of these types of wine. Not that they're lousy and the snake's not even interested in it, but chad is chamar pilpulin, that it's a mixture of wine with pilpulin, and that's what gives it its sharp taste. Mar, absintin. Mar is mixed with something called absintin, and that's what gives it its bitter taste, which was, I guess, therapeutic. Yudik. Matok may barg, and matok is may barg. It's a very chashva mashke that was sweetened, and it's just that the snake isn't interested in it, but people are very interested in it. But bottom line is, these three types of wine are not subject to gilui for one reason or the other, either because they're lower quality, the snake's not interested, or they're all something special about them, but the snake's not interested. Amrav Shem Malakish, Karina ain bo mishum gilui. Karina is not subject to gilui. Great, my Karina. What is Karina? Amrav Shem Chamra Chalia Daasi Me'Asya. That it's a certain type of wine that comes from Asya. Amrav Shem B'Mekomo Yesh bo mishum gilui. But in its place, meaning in that Medina, it is, even though it's very sweet, but that's their wine, and therefore that's what the snakes are used to, and therefore it is subject to gilui there. My time of Chamar Medina, who? Because it is the Chamar Medina. It is the wine of that location. So whatever the wine that's around in that location is going to be subject to gilui. Amar Rava, hay Chamar da Akrim, atzas yom yesh b'mishum gilui mishum yayin nesach. If wine starts turning, it starts souring, starts becoming chametz, for 3 days it's still subject to gilui and yayin nesach. Mikan ve'elach, but after 3 days, it's already gotten to the point where it's not considered wine anymore. Ein bo mishum gilui, ein bo mishum yayin nesach. It's no longer going to be a problem of gilui and yayin nesach if a guy first gets it after 3 days from when it started souring. Even after 3 days, we have to be choshesh mishum gilui. My timer zimnin mikri v'shasi. Because sometimes the snake will come and drink from it. Tan Rabbanan, Yayin Toseis. If you have fresh wine, freshly squeezed, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. So that's not subject to Gilui. The Kamat Sisa. So how fresh is fresh? Gimel Yamin, for 3 days. Good. Hashachlayim Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. Now we're going to talk about foods and whether they're subject to Gilui. So cress is not subject to Gilui. Ubnei Gola Naguban Isser. But the Bnei Gola are knowing an Isser of Gilui on such things. V'lo Amran El Delas Buchala. But that's only if there's no vinegar. Avalis Luchala Migri Buhu. But if there is vinegar in it, then the snake would be disgusted by that mixture. He's not going to have anything to do with it. Kuta Chabavli, a certain type of dip called Kuta Chabavli, ein bo mishum gilui, not subject to gilui. Ubnei Gola nagu bo isser, but Bnei Gola are knowing an isser in it. Amar of Nashi, I ispe nikurei chashinon. If you happen to see what looks like a snake bite in it, you see like teeth marks that look like a snake, so then maybe you should be choshesh, even though you don't think, la halacha, I don't have to worry about big gilui, but you got to use your head. Amar of Chia Barashi, Amar Shmuel, mei tif, Ein bo mishum gilui. When you have water that is dripping, tif, that's the, what do they call it? Amnatopia? Right, when it's making the sound. So that's ein bo mishum gilui. You don't have to worry about gilui. Am ravashi, vu david tif, la de tif. That's if it's happening quickly. It's drip, 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 drip. It's happening quickly. Amr b'chir bar ashi, amr shmuel. Pi te'ina in bo mishum gilui. When you pull a fig off of a tree, so it leaves the area that where it was attached to the tree is now exposed. Don't worry about gilui, that the venom is going to get in there. Kiman. Ki aitan, titanir, blazer omar, ochla demanav mutain balayla, ve'inuchos mishum, shenemar, shomer psaim Hashem. That you're allowed to eat figs and grapes at night, and you don't have to worry that a snake put something in it, because shomer psaim Hashem. We have the right to assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects those who live life in a normal, straightforward way. That this idea of Shomer Psaim Hashem is quoted many times in Shas. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about doing a bris milah on a cloudy day where the Ruach Dromus is Menasheves Bo, and therefore it should have some element of Sakana. And that the Ruach Dromus is the most dangerous of all the winds. Nevertheless, Shomer Psaim Hashem, in the Sacha Shabbos, about doing HaKazaz Dam on Friday where the Mazel Madim is sholeit, so maybe that's a dangerous thing. Don't worry, Shomer Psaim Hashem. Gemara Nida talks about another type of sakana of Shomer Psaim Hashem, that if a person is about having bia on X number of days from the time of conception, that could be dangerous. But Shomer Psaim Hashem, we don't have to worry about this. You don't have to do all the mathematical equations. So what's the svar of Shomer Psaim Hashem? So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that anything that the Olam is knowing to do, and people do this, and they're not concerned about it, so you're allowed to rely Shomer Psaim Hashem. Meaning if it's a normal way of living, and that's just what normal people do, so then you don't have to worry about the sakana that's associated with it. Famously, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe in the Chosh Mishpah Chelek Beis Siman Ayin Vav, where he suggests that smoking is in the category of Shom Psayim Hashem. And his svara is that the whole world smokes. There's so many people that smoke, and it's true. I'm aware, he says, that there are people in hospitals and there are people dying of lung cancer and other types of cancer and heart disease, but that's exacerbated or caused by their smoking. But he said the overwhelming majority of smokers have no ill health effects from smoking. So Shomer Psayim Hashem, it's something that normal people do. So that's why both Rav David and Rav Moshe David Tendler have both said that if he would have seen the evidence we have today, where the overwhelming majority are very severely affected by smoking, he can no longer say Shomer Psayim Hashem. But whether it's always hard to go back and say if he knew. But Rav David and Rav Moshe David Tendler both say that there's no doubt that Rav Moshe would have changed his mind. But aside from that, all the contemporary poskim already said not that way. Rav Vazna says that after we have drisha v'chakira lemalam mikol safek, that there are hundreds of thousands of people that die young because they smoke. So he says there's no doubt that it's absolutely an isur gamar al pi haTorah. Sometimes every once in a while someone will challenge me. You know what's wrong with the rabbis? They never say that it's forbidden to smoke. Oh, what do you mean? You have to pay attention when they talk. They all say that it's forbidden to smoke. You know, of course they say. So Rav Vazna and all the other gedolei Yisrael that lived in recent years all said that it was usher to smoke, and he says, and Rav Azim says, and if you already smoke, yishtadel mod. Rav Moshe wasn't in favor either. He also said you shouldn't let young people smoke, and you should try to quit. All of this, Rav Moshe said all of these things. I mentioned the other day in the Shia, I don't know why I mentioned it, but I mentioned something that Rav Asher Weiss said, that someone who smokes is probably allowed to smoke on Shabbos because he's a shota and he's part of a mitzvah. Again, not la halacha, but that as a comment. So I got an email yesterday from my cousin. He said that he remembers hearing Rav Asher Weiss say that he'd rather see a Talmud of his eat a non-kosher sandwich than smoke. Because if he eats a non-kosher sandwich, he's costing himself his olam haba. When he smokes, he's costing himself his olam haba and his olam hazeh. So why lose both? Why would you say you'd rather see him eat something that's not kosher? Okay, so again, I don't think he's recommending that they eat something that's not kosher, but that he just in terms of relative, the level of issur. So that's the notion of Shomer Psayim Hashem. Exactly when we apply it is a tricky thing. So Vayit in the Gemara. Now, Amar Rav Safa Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Droma Shlosha Minei Erasein. Rabbi Yeshua Droma says there are three types of venom that a snake produces. Shalbachur, if it's a young snake, shokea, then it becomes very heavy and it sinks into the liquid. Shalbenoni, if it's an average snake, a middle-aged snake, mifapeya, it sort of hangs out in the middle of the mixture. Vishalzakein tzaf, and if it's an old snake, it floats on top. You mean to tell me that as snakes get older, they become weaker? We learned that three things get stronger as they get older. Elohim, dog, nachash, v'chazir. So says Mar, koach yisufi tekomosim. They become stronger, but ziyarei kolosh, but their venom becomes weaker. So why is it important to know that a young snake's venom is going to be shokea, is going to sink? If you see nine people drink from a barrel that was left exposed and nothing happened to the first nine people, don't drink from it, because something could happen to the tenth person. Because it could be sitting there at the bottom and you got the cup that has the it happened once, nine people drank, didn't die, tenth guy drank from it and died. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, zehu shokeya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, yeah, that's because it was shokeya. So if you have a melon, in modern Hebrew I think avatiach is a watermelon, but I think in the Gemara means any type of melon. If it was exposed, nine people ate from it, and they didn't die from it, a tenth person should not partake of it. And it was a maisa shahaya that the nine people ate, nothing happened, tenth person, and he died. Amar Rabbi Zeshokeah, so that was Shokeah. Amar Rav Zeshokeah. Tan Rabban, Mayim Shenizgalu HaReza Lo Yishavchim B'Rosh HaSarabim. Mayim Shenizgalu, not only should you not drink it, don't pour it out in Rosh HaSarabim. Lo Yabetz Ben HaSabayis, don't clean your house with it by, they used to have dirt floors, so they would sprinkle liquid water to hold the dirt down. Lo Yigabu Ben HaSatit, don't mix cement with it. Lo Yashkimen Lo Behemtov, Lo Behem Eschavero, don't give your animal to drink or anybody else's animal to drink from it. Lo Yerchaz Ben Bonavi Adavaragov, don't wash your
face, hands, or feet with it. Acherim are makom shisirta aser ain't sirta mutter. But acherim say only places in your body that have folds or creases, it's going to be aser, because then the water could sit there and the venom could have its effect. But if it just washes straight off a smooth part of the body, you don't have to worry. So says Gemara, acherim ayin tanakama. Isn't that the same thing? Panav has creases, and that's why. You know, the raglav, the between the toes, there are creases. So that's why it's also the same thing. Now, the difference between them is, can you use it to wash the back of the hand, the back of the foot, where it's purely smooth, or the top of the cheekbones, where there aren't any real creases? So Tanakama would say that it's aser, and where the acherim would say that it's mutter, because it is a smooth area. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with Amar Man.